Good afternoon, everybody. As you mentioned, my name is Katie Lewis. I have a joint appointment with Texas A&M AgriLife and Texas Tech. I'm an assistant professor there. The research that I'm going to be discussing with you today was actually initiated by Galen Morgan in 2012. More recently, there was a larger scale beltwide study with, I think, several of the PIs here in the room today that was funded. And so I'll be discussing with you not only some of the work that Galen has done over the years, but also some of the preliminary data that we've collected in the Southern High Plains. So really what initiated this research, the push behind it, was reports of potassium deficiency symptoms from across the Cotton Belt. They're becoming more common. Used to, we really hadn't paid a whole lot of attention. Maybe in the early 90s, there was some work done on potassium. But really here, more recently, we're starting to see this symptomology. And one of the reasons that potassium is so important is there are reports that maybe there's potassium alleviation of drought stress or even foliar diseases. And that's exactly what this picture is showing here. This is a field in 2012 where Galen was conducting one of his studies where you applied 0 kilograms per hectare K2O compared to 120 kilograms per hectare. Definitely some verticillium foliar diseases going on where potassium was not applied. Potassium is extremely important when we talk about fiber maturity, lint quality of the cotton. It plays a big role in the development of those fibers, particularly with fiber length and strength as well. Some of the initial data that was collected was from 2012 in Williamson County, where they were looking at not only the rates of potassium that were being applied, but also the method of application. So here on the left side, we have liquid applications of potassium as 0015, and then on the right, it's granular broadcast applied potassium as 0060. Definitely a yield response that we're seeing at this location in 2012. So that's really what spurred the development of this larger scale beltwide study. Some of the work that was conducted in the Southern High Plains dates back to the late 80s. Hans et al. Conducted some research just north of Lubbock where they were identifying soils that were testing to be adequate or sufficient in potassium. However, they were still seeing that yield response in cotton. And some of this may go back to the fact that our newer, more modern varieties of cotton, they have longer fruiting periods. We're trying to increase the number of bolls on those second and third positions as well as returning those bolls. And potassium may play a part in helping with that. So if we have greater production, of course there's going to be a greater potassium demand. So very similar uptake curve to nitrogen with potassium. However, it's delayed slightly. The potassium requirements, demands of cotton are slightly later than what you'll see with nitrogen. So we can reach up to a maximum uptake anywhere from 2.2 to 3.5 pounds of potassium per acre per day. And this is anywhere between mid-square to first bloom, and it reaches about its maximum uptake rate at about peak bloom. So it may have something, the reason that we're seeing this response may go back to the pattern that we see with uptake. We take a soil test, we evaluate that soil test, it says we're sufficient, but in that potassium available pool over the growing season, we're depleting the available potassium, and maybe the soil can't replenish that pool quickly enough to keep pace with the demands of the plant. So the objectives of the Beltwide Cotton Project are to evaluate the impact of application methods and rates of potassium on cotton yield, quality, and the return on investment. And then based on these findings, we plan to reevaluate potassium recommendations. So as I mentioned, it is a beltwide project, 13 different locations in 2015. Things have changed slightly in 2016. Like I said, we have several of the PIs here in the room. Soil sampling was conducted on a depth basis. We collected samples at 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and 30 to 60 centimeter depths. Delta Pine 1321 was planted in 2015. We looked at leaf potassium concentrations at first bloom, lint yield, as well as fiber quality. And for the soil extractant, we were using Malic 3. We had both broadcast and liquid injected or knife injected potassium. We were using, so to try to get away from using something like potassium thiosulfate, we're using a 0015, which Galen Morgan was able to get a co-op close to where he is to take that 0060 and put it into solution. So we didn't want the effect of adding something like sulfate or sulfur to the soil if we were using 0025. Application rates were 0, 45, 90, 135, and 180 kilograms of potassium per hectare. And the fertilizer was applied 2 to 4 weeks before planting. Now this is showing you all of our locations. We do have some of those sites that are below the critical level of potassium. However, the Texas locations, 2 of the 3, are well above, according to the Malic 3 soil test, are well above that critical level. The two locations that we're going to discuss today will be the Lubbock or Lamesa site as well as the Thrall. One thing I think that's important to point out here, especially looking at the Lubbock location, is that our potassium concentrations are much greater in that 0 to 15 centimeter depth. They decrease with depth. So if we think about that uptake curve, when we get later in the season, when the plant has greater demands of potassium, that rooting system is more developed, it's deeper into that profile, getting to these deeper depths in the soil where potassium concentrations are not as great. So the two locations for today's talk are Williamson County, Thrall, Texas. It's a Burleson clay. Soil test range anywhere from 90 to about 290 parts per million potassium. And based on that, our recommendations would be 0 to 67 kilograms per hectare. For the Southern High Plains location, it's in Dawson County. At this site, it's an Amarillo fine sandy loam. Our potassium concentrations range from 250 to almost 400 parts per million. And, of course, based on the soil test levels, zero potassium is recommended. Now, the two differences between these locations, other than their potassium concentrations, would be irrigation. Dawson County, we are subsurface drip. Williamson County is a rain-fed system. Moving on to yield. So here we have the Dawson County yields for 2015. When we analyze within method or source of potassium, there was no difference between rates for the broadcast. However, looking at the knife-injected potassium, we see a significant increase with an increasing in rate. Now, what's most important to the farmers, the guys that are actually paying for this potassium fertilizer, is it worth the money? What's the return on investment of applying this potassium fertilizer? Compared to the check, when we apply 45 kilograms of potassium per hectare, we see an increase in our return on investment of $30. And when we go to that higher rate of 180 kilograms of potassium per hectare, it goes up to $50 increase compared to that check. Now, Williamson County, we have data, remember, starting in 2012, but there's a big point that I want to make looking at this data. So we have 2014 that are the blue lines and 2015 in the green. 2014 was a much wetter year, not as much drought, less stress on that cotton crop. In 2015, it was a much drier year. There was drought stress. And it appears in 2016, we'll back this up, that it seems that we see that potassium response, or it's more prominent during those drought years. During when the cotton is being stressed, you're going to see a greater response or greater likelihood of that response. Same thing with the return on investment, we see an increase as we increase rate of potassium of the return on investment for 2015, but not necessarily 2014. Now, 2016, Williamson County, much, much drier year. They did not get the rainfall when they needed it, and once again, we see a response. On the right, we have the broadcast applied potassium fertilizer. Sorry, on the left, we have the broadcast. On the right, we have the knife injected. A very, very clear response to increasing potassium fertilizer, just as we saw in 2015. So in summary, we definitely are seeing a yield response, even though our soil tests are indicating that we don't need to apply any potassium, that we're at that sufficient level. We're well above what the critical level is, at least in the 0 to 6 inch depth of the soil. In comparison to the check, when we apply the highest rate of potassium or the greatest rate of potassium, we increase our yields by approximately 224 kilograms in 2015 in Dawson County and 112 kilograms increase in Williamson County. Now, why are we seeing this? And I hope that I can get some feedback from all of you. I think it's a really good question for all of us to pursue. Some of the things that we are looking into would be the clay mineralogy of the soil. Are we seeing some fixation occurring, especially maybe deeper in the profile? Do we have wedge zones where that potassium is being trapped? And our ammonium-based extractants can, they're possibly overestimating what's truly available in the soil. Does it go back to the genetics of the crop? More rapid plant growth, looking more at the soil chemistry as well, cation exchange capacity based saturation, and is it that extraction too? Do we need to reevaluate what extraction method we're using to get a reliable potassium level and availability in our soil? With that, I thank you for your attention and be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Speculation.
Yes, sir.
One of the things we saw years ago in the 80s on really rapidly pruning cotton, that the soil test levels of potassium are adequate, but they're based on calibration for cotton that took a long time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to the fast pruning type, your demand where you were showing, I think, 1.8 to 2.3 pounds per acre per day,
mm-hmm.
is more like 4 pounds
yeah.
per acre per day. So the plant not able to take up enough nitrogen, even though it had enough time, the soil could supply. So what we ended up doing when we were working with really fast pruning types was we actually had to do what you've done, gone to real high potash rate,
mm-hmm.
so that that demand curve could be closer at the time
when it needs it,
which means you had excess at both ends,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't have deficient plants at a peak time.
Yes, sir. I think that's a big part of it. Yes, sir.
The ratio indicated, is this a pound K per acre or pound K to mo per acre?
The application rates were pounds of K per acre, or no, sir, not in the 2014 and 2015 data that I showed.
On the return on investment, the ROI,
mm-hmm.
how was it calculated?
It was based on the loan value and the cost of the fertilizer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.